Today's episode, special edition, all things sign stealer.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
The way he said it was like I was on a beach in Tahiti during the Sports Illustrated swimsuit shoot.
Russ Dellinger.
Yeah, but Uncle T looks like he's getting off scot-free, Dan.
And SI's Pat Forty.
The first voice you hear is Dan Wetzel. I could not believe it. I almost just turned it off right there.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, special edition. The Netflix, fire it up, Netflix and chill with Connor Stallions. What better way to spend an evening? Date night.
Yeah.
A little sign stealer. Try to get everyone interested. We will do a
content stallions.
Content stallions is
right.
Rocking number one show on Netflix right now.
Is it?
Yeah. I saw the rankings. As it should be. College football should always be number one.
That's right.
We will do week one talk tomorrow. We wanted to get this out of the way so we can just talk football tomorrow because obviously it is an exciting week. But right now, this can remain evergreen for you. We're talking Sign Stealer, the Netflix doc that featured, I think, some very impressive narration at times by very smart, well-spoken. And then
the first voice you hear is Dan Wetzel. I could not believe it. I almost just turned it off right there.
Yeah. My wife and I had closed caption on because it just from a previous show. And so it was still on. So the first words we see on the screen in brackets is Dan Wetzel.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Then we got to the eye candy part where I bring in all the viewers and keep them
that's
around.
Right. That's right.
I am
beautiful,
Netflix
beautiful
eye candy.
Face.
That is my job. I knew my job and I did my job for the show. I will say this. I thought it is terrifying doing those interviews. And I know we've all sat for docs. It's a little behind the scenes for everyone. You talk for like 4 hours and you're going to get like, I don't know how many times I was in the doc. And nor should I have been more. I'm a very bit player in this. 5-6 times, right? You don't know what 5 sentences they are going to use from 4 hours. So people are like, why didn't you mention this? I'm like, I did. They didn't use it. Like, it's okay. Like, they use someone else to say that. Or anyway, I was treated quite fairly. Micah Brown is a terrific director. I liked a lot of what he did. My favorite part of the doc, just stylistically, and you guys aren't filmmakers like me, so live and learn. I love that he did this interview where Connor was in the car. Longingly
outside
looking.
Of Michigan State.
Yeah, yeah, right? Like he had been
longingly
expelled.
Longingly look at the Block M. Yeah, on the
like all this side. Guy's life was I want to be in that building. I want to be the head coach, the defensive coordinator, unpaid assistant, anything I can do. This is the only place I want to be. And now I'm stuck in a car outside looking. I thought the great symbolism there. That's what we call symbolism in the industry, Pat. I don't even know if that's what they call it. Anyway, that was my favorite part. Pat, I'm sure that Connor's explanation for whatever, I read your column, it seemed to maybe left a little lacking for you. Your thoughts on Sign Stealer?
Buckle up.
We're going to unpack the whole show, but Pat is like a racehorse at the gate here, ready to go.
Well, Connor's full of it. And the documentary went soft on him, and they left a lot of things hanging out there that didn't get explained adequately or at all. And the documentary succeeded in one thing. They got the first interview with Connor Stallions. So that was big. A lot of people wanted to hear from him. But if you're a Michigan fan who, for some reason, if you were still clinging to a belief that Connor's going to explain all this away and it's not going to be that bad, you didn't get that out of this documentary. If you did, you're completely delusional. You're as delusional as Connor Stallions is, the obsessive fanboy who dedicated his life to the team. I mean, whoa. Look, it served a purpose. We got to hear from Connor. We got to hear what it seemed to me pretty much what Connor wanted us to hear, as opposed to putting a little bit more pressure on him to say more things or to explain more things, or at least ask questions on camera about some things that I don't think he probably wanted to go into. But we got that much, and we got Dan Wetzel as the open. So that was that.
That was tamer than I was expecting.
Yeah, I know. I was expecting a little more fire. He's parsing it out.
Just clearing his throat at this point.
Sprinkling it out. There were two most interesting things to me. I didn't learn a whole lot from the documentary, but I don't think any of us did in this world who followed it and reported on it so closely. But there were two things I learned. And I thought were the most interesting. One, I was fascinated by the thousands of signs that Connor did himself, clipped and made a massive spreadsheet of. That is just incredible. That was really, really crazy.
Let me stop you there on one more point on this that didn't, I think, kind of got moved. Because his dedication to two things can be true. Many things can be true, right? He broke the rule. But his dedication is, he says in there, and I know this is a beat, he would scout the, like, let's say Penn State's got seven guys doing signals. He would scout all seven of those guys to try to figure out the tendencies when they were live, right? You had the live guy doing when he taps his head and moves his left arm. Sometimes it's a decoy, sometimes it's real. He would scout them like you would scout a wide receiver that has a tell if he's the live, like, option. Like, the dedication to this thing is just crazed.
Yeah, the time spent, like, watching game film must be crazy. Just thousands and thousands of hours.
Whatever film he got, he put in a lot of hours.
Most interesting thing to me was him getting the game ball after the 2022 Iowa game, in which, of course, he says that, you know, Jim Harbaugh told him, no, don't get the big head, Sonny Boy, or whatever, something to that effect, which, you know, I mean, tells me that, look, you got to be under a rock to not believe that Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of Michigan, didn't know a little bit about what was going on. And I think that story showed that he knew at least a little bit about what was going on, and he respected the effort enough to give him the game ball. That was pretty interesting.
Was not an anonymous low-level staffer.
No.
Don't get the game.
I covered that game against Iowa, by the way. I was there. That's good for Connor for getting the game ball for that one. It's a terrible game, but you're shutting down the Iowa offense. Congratulations. You know,
there is no doubt that they valued Connor Stallions there. He was not. I don't know that Michigan ever said he was a low level staffer, or that was just put out there. I don't know, but he was not a low level staffer, and it never made sense that he was, because he was in the ear of Minter and those guys. Obviously. Low-level staffer is literally stay over there by the Gatorade jug and don't talk to anybody. And you certainly don't get the game ball. But, what he did on all that.
A rogue staffer. Remember the rogue was used to describe him. A rogue. Low-level staffer. He might have gone a little rogue, but... we learned in the documentary that he wasn't obviously revealing anything about orchestrating the advanced scouting and buying tickets, yes, for friends and family, but buying tickets for them as a way for them to see the game,
right?
Not video the game, right, Pat?
Oh, it was the biggest bunch of bunk I've ever heard. It was unbelievable.
I thought the worst part for Connor Stallions was the end when he did the NCAA interview. I thought he was going along pretty good, and he's kind of like, when they held up the picture of him at Central Michigan, and he's just like, that guy doesn't even look like he's kind of in on the joke, right? And then once he got to that end part, it was like they were just parsing words. You know, I can't recall, you know, I can't recall whether I was at this. You know, 3,000 signs.
Yeah.
And you can't recall. Yeah. And the law, they're arguing. And I get it on a legal, if this was a legal case, because the statute that the NCAA is citing is vaguely written and it's never been a, what is scouting? What is a scout? All that stuff. Fine. That you got a point, but not in the court of public opinion. You don't. Like, it's to go to that level of just trying to parse every word and I don't recall this and be super aggressive. Like, they spend their time saying the NCAA investigative process is the most unfair and all of these things. And it can be. It absolutely can be for people. Like, the NCAA has ruined all sorts of people's lives and careers or whatever over just trivial and ridiculous stuff. I agree. But the questions we hear actually asked in this interview were totally reasonable. The woman from the NCAA is like, were you at the Central Michigan State game? And he's like, that would be what you would ask, right? That wasn't an unfair question. And they're just like, he's answered that question. Like, I thought that part just went, he would have been much better served being like, look, I sent my friends to do this. I didn't need it, but I got over my skis. I colored outside the lines. I went too far. I lost perspective. And I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have done it. I think you would have got a lot better review if you just admit that and come up with some explanation than, you know, what he did. What do you think, Pat? Would that have appeased you a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Admit what's obvious, what's blatantly obvious. Like, we know he was at Central Michigan, okay? Everybody knows that. There's not a single person out there that will say, no, he was not. So admit that. Admit, yes, all right, my friends were going to these games. Maybe we thought we could get a little advantage out of it. She shouldn't have done it, but that's what we did. Not this complete garbage of, well, they just like going to football games. Oh, really? Okay, how come they're only games that are teams that are about to play Michigan? Oh, well, that's just the way it is. Where did they get the seats? Oh, they're across from the opposing bench, the bench of the team that Michigan's going to play. Why'd they go to you for tickets? Can't get tickets on their own. Connor Stallions is just the ticket maven. He can come up with this stuff. Oh, they just, you know, sometimes they sent me some video. I didn't ask for it. I didn't need it. Okay, it's Connor,
like,
just
it's like
stop.
Like, if you're, what does he say? Like, if your aunt sends you a Christmas gift that you already have, you don't send it back. You just say, yeah, I'll take this. Sure. Thank you.
No, it, honest to God, this is, I don't know this, but on this seems to me like Connor, being a Michigan man following the Michigan man, Jim Harbaugh, of I'm denying everything until the last dog dies. I maybe had a hamburger there. I don't recall it. I don't recall meeting with a recruit during a dead period at a breakfast. Okay, Jim, sure. Connor, I don't recall whether I was at the Central Michigan game in the sideline in disguise with spyglasses on. Sure. Sure, you don't recall.
Well, and then he obviously told Dave Portnoy he was.
Yeah, right.
Portnoy outs him, and I'm glad they put that in the doc. That was good. That was good. But this is Connor Stallion spitting in your face and saying it's raining. Not my favorite tactic.
I mean, it's Central, and it's I don't know whether he's trying to protect Central Michigan. I don't know what's going on. It's so obvious that this happened because when they first came out and said, like, these first videos started emerging. Hey, is that Connor Stein on the sideline, right? You knew it was him within, like, 6 hours, definitively. Yeah. You could say, hey, that looks a lot like, because Central Michigan would have come out and said, hold on, it's not Connor Stallions. We have an assistant equipment manager, Jimmy, and he looks like, here he is. Yeah. Look at Jimmy. Kind of looks like him, and you go, okay. Like, it's been 10 months. It's been a year. It's literally a year from Friday. Central Michigan has not produced a single guy that looks like Connor Stallions who might be on their sideline. Okay, so obviously it was him. Yes. Central Michigan would love to. They're like, you're the AD, the compliant. You're just catching a stray here. You're like, what? I don't want to be involved in this. And so for 1 year, they have not found one guy in Mount Pleasant, Michigan that looks like Connor Stallions. Like, they could have even waited a couple weeks and had the guy grow a goatee. They should have been down the corner. Like, they couldn't find anyone. So clearly he did this. Now, is he shutting up because he wants to pretend? I don't know. That one, but the whole bit of we know what happened. Just admit it. Is the punishment going to be worse? I don't think the NCAA, bought his explanation. I don't know. It said at the end he's going to get a 3-year show cause as proposed.
Well,
that's a fairly fair penalty.
Well, they didn't use the word show cause, right? They said ban.
Oh.
So I'm wondering 3-year suspension and then a longer show cause?
That's a good point.
That was just
unclear. I don't
know what that is.
That's a good point. The terminology. If it's, I don't know. I just, that I think is where he lost a lot of people.
Right.
Because none of these answers made, I like you said, who the heck is going to believe that he doesn't recall being, it's not like you just walk up to someone and say, hey, in 2003, were you here? And you're like, right. Oh, wait, let me think about it. He's had months and months. Like, did you dress up in Central Michigan gear, slip onto the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd at least be like, no.
Right.
Like, I would, I would remember.
What you would say.
I would remember doing that. No,
yeah.
I didn't.
He would have been, here's where he would have been if that wasn't him. He would have been at the Michigan team hotel in Ann Arbor the night before they played, was it Fresno or whoever they opened with last year? Because that was a Friday night game.
Yeah,
UNLV. And so that's where he would have been. And that would, and the master of recall of all kinds of things would have said, no, here, you know what? We can go check the hotel list. And, you know, here I was.
Yeah.
Well, it's typical lawyer speak, right? I do not recall. We hear it quite a bit in testimony, in court cases, and up at the witness stand. I do not recall this. I do not recall that. And that's exactly what that was. And you could see, you know, in the video, the taped video of the NCAA interview, you could see, obviously, he was a lawyer on both either side of him, Connor did, and you could see them pass him notes and take back notes and scribble notes down, and he was reading from some of that at times. So all lawyered up and in lawyer speak.
This, though, to me, is a case not – first of all, I get it if you're facing – a felony or like a prison term, right? Like, yes, shut up. You don't do interviews. You do whatever your lawyer says. You fight to the word. I get it. This is not that case. This is a case of the court of public opinion, not just what suspension you might get from the NCAA, but whether the public at large sees you and all the, and you know, this thing is watched by every freaking coach in the country. Is watching this Netflix. Every 100%. AD, every, I mean, it's the texts that were coming in just in one night. Everybody's watching this thing. I'm like, don't you got a game like Thursday? You got it up in like the defensive coordinator's like projection room. Like, we're going to watch this. You need to project like, all right, you know what? I kind of like this guy. I get it. Right. I get it. He made a mistake. Whatever. We can monitor this. Let's hire him in 3-5 years, whatever it is. So I think that was a missed opportunity for him. I thought he was fighting a legal case instead of a court of a public opinion case, which is where this really all that matters, because he's not in legal. Nobody, there's no crime here, right? There's no, as we've said many times, like we've all covered just horrific, horrific scandals in college athletics. This isn't it. This is pretty funny, right? Maybe he got a little advantage and they were able to beat Ohio State. Other than Bro-Hio's feelings, and we'll get to Bro-Hio.
Oh, we will get to Bro-Hio.
But
what was that?
This is what I think, though. What do you guys think of this? Learning about Connor Stallions. Okay. His, Harvey Updike, when he tried to explain why he poisoned the Auburn trees?
I was just thinking of him. I know exactly where you're going. Go for it.
Too much Bama in me, right?
Yes, yes.
Too much Michigan. Yes.
Yeah.
This kid... Okay, he's like 14, 15 years old, right? He's clearly very, very smart. He's clearly academically accomplished, driven, everything. He's a Michigan fan. I love Michigan. I want to work for Michigan football. I want to be around Michigan football, all this stuff. 99.9% of people would say, I'm going to attend the University of Michigan, right? This is my favorite team. I'm going to volunteer for the football team. I'll be a manager. I'll be this. I'll do whatever I can do. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to help out. I'll help out the athletic department. I'll get my I mean, this guy obviously could, he's just gotten a finance degree and been like all the other Michigan bros and gone go make $2 billion on Wall Street or something, right? I'll help that way. Whatever it is, you go to Michigan. This kid at like 14, 15 studies the best coaches and says, one day I'm going to be the Michigan coach. And like 25 years from now, it will help Michigan if I go to the Naval Academy.
What a reason to go to the Naval Academy.
What a reason. This is not a small ask. First of all, it takes years to get in. You don't just like throw an app in. You've got to get a senator approved. You got to do all this stuff. And then you dedicate 4 years of the most grueling. And I have more respect for anyone who goes to those military academies than anybody. And then you got to join the Marines or the Navy. And he does all of that on the long play that maybe one day when he is the head coach at Michigan, he'll be better prepared. He'll be more like Coach K or Popovich or Bear Bryant or Woody Hayes or whatever. That level of dedication is unbelievable.
It's pretty wild. It is. Like, and especially the part that struck me out of all of this when he's stationed, I guess it's at Camp Pendleton in California, but he's going to Michigan games on the weekends, and to help afford that, he was renting his house out by Airbnb and sleeping in his car near the airport.
At like, the truck stop, yeah.
Yeah, the truck stop. Like, I mean, I don't know whether to be, I don't know whether to be impressed or scared. Absolutely scared of this dude.
I thought that was the most telling part, because when you see a kid like that, a guy like that, and remember his buddy from the Navy's like, he just walks in. He goes, "You like football?" Like as a first, and it, you know, this guy's an enlisted guy. Connor's a lieutenant, so you know, there's, and it's like, yeah, like yes, sir. Like, what a question. And he said every single conversation was about football. Like he's just all in on this. And so then I that to me was when you then say, okay, this guy is on the staff. Would this be someone who would push the envelope, step over the line, concoct some idea of how to? Yes, it makes perfect sense, right?
Yes.
This guy, he's sleeping in his car as a naval officer, as a Marine captain. He's sleeping in his car. Like, he doesn't go, I'm going to go to Michigan. I'm going to go to the Naval Academy because, like you said, Ross, I'm 15. I think I'll go to the Naval Academy because maybe when I'm 45 or 55, I'll be the Michigan head coach and we'll beat Ohio State then. Like, that's a lot of work. That is a, it's a lot easier just to poison the trees, man. Like it's, or like don a mask and get on a message board like everybody else, other crazy guy. It would be easier for him to just go and become the hedge fund manager and just pay for the team. Like he took an unbelievable route there. So I found that to be very interesting. I thought that was all that was very interesting part.
Yeah. That's all right. Who is this psycho? Now we know. All right, we at least know who Connor Stallions is a little bit more, and it is an alarming depth to his obsession/devotion to Michigan football.
Yeah, I think at heart he's a good dude. He just lost all. The perspective is just it's all it, all it. All right, we'll be back with more after this. Also seems very clear to me when you look at all of this stuff with Connor Stallions. Look, the thing is, you can say, like, they have not. There's two parts of this show that are interesting, right? Plenty of people will just believe Harbaugh knew, okay? But there's no proof. And then there's plenty of people say Ohio State turned them in, and there's no proof. Like, they didn't. They kind of threw both of those out there, but it's not. There's no proof on the answer. But I do think with Harbaugh, especially when you go back to the other part of this case, the cases of Harbaugh with the quote unquote not a cheeseburger thing, which indeed was far more serious than calling it a cheeseburger situation was. I mean, he was meeting with recruits when you're not allowed to meet with recruits, right? Blatant cheating, blatant rule violation. You can say it doesn't matter, but it's like this is the rule. You violated it. They have the same rule in the NFL. This isn't about like get some kid getting $50 or something. There was just no culture of compliance or oversight inside the Michigan football program the last 3, 4, 5 years.
look, we've talked about it before that Harbaugh kind of thrived in a chaotic environment. He wasn't a buttoned up, you know, on top of every detail kind of guy. But one of the other things, he also is like, we will do anything to get an edge. And his recruiting activities displayed that. And it also would certainly lend itself to valuing a guy like Connor Stallions. You're so dedicated, you'll do anything for us? Okay, buddy. This is, you say you can come up with signals? Great. Maybe we want to know. Maybe we don't want to know. Maybe we do know. Maybe Chris Partridge knows. That was left hanging out there in the documentary, completely unexplained. But that this is a place where Connor Stallions could make himself valuable and thrive, because the bottom line is we'll do whatever it takes. That seems to be the way Michigan operated.
So one other topic. Late in the documentary, there was footage of Connor attending the national championship game. Plenty of footage. So they had a camera crew following him at the national championship
shot
game.
Shot on an iPhone by just
okay.
the director, Mike.
By like
Brown.
A friend?
Mike
I wonder.
Brown,
by
the director.
The director. Okay. So he was already on
so
the case.
The director was there. I'm just thinking,
how about
you know,
the quality of an iPhone?
Yeah, it was. It was good.
I'm not here to
really
do an ad for the iPhone.
No, it was really good. It was. I did not. Yeah, I thought it was a crew because it was really well done.
Terrible. Mine don't look that good.
But my point was, man, they've been planning this for a while, haven't they?
I think
that's interesting.
I think that was the day I heard. I've spoken to Micah Brown, and that he was on like a vacation and came off the vacation, flew to Houston that day, met Connor and filmed that part. They had come up with whatever deal with the producers or whatever. Like, he was hired the day before, but then they spent that day and then obviously put the thing together in the ensuing 9 months. But yeah, they go to the fan, like they're at some kind of fan party.
Yeah, right. Here's the thing that stuck out about the whole the him going to the Ohio State game and him going to the championship game.
He stormed the field.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I'm sure he would have rather been in the locker room with his brothers. Oh God. But he was kind of enjoying being the bad boy here too. Like, he was reveling in this. He wasn't exactly running around saying, hey, look at me, but he wasn't hiding. He was definitely not hiding. He kept popping up, and you'd see, oh, my God, Connor Stallions was here. Connor Stallions was there. He's enjoying the attention.
I still go back to him sitting in that car. Like, all he really wants to do is be in. At one point, he's like, I was in Schembechler Hall watching film and preparing for like a linebacker meeting. And he said it like, the way he said it was like, I was on a beach in Tahiti during the Sports Illustrated swimsuit shoot, you know? Like, I think he's pretty devastated that his entire life's work and all he wanted to be is inside Schembechler Hall. Is gone. I don't know that he's enjoying this all, but he did not hide. No. And you know, he's not going to hide, and he's doing his thing, but certainly that video part at the end was pretty good. Where the money came from, Ross Dellinger makes an appearance.
Yes. Can we please talk about that?
Still unanswered question.
We can talk about it longer than the documentary talked about it.
The College Football Inquirer got in the doc.
Yeah.
Ross was there.
Yes. The pod was in the doc.
How do you feel, Ross?
Fine. Yeah.
Did your wife,
no different.
Was she excited when you popped up on the screen, or was she like, oh no?
She knew it was coming, I think. Yeah, she knew it was coming. So we watched it together, had a smoky old fashioned. I needed it to get through this one-sided documentary that included Mr. Brohio, who we have to discuss.
Okay.
Is who they had. Hey, this is the other side. Come on. What are we doing?
Before we get to Brohio, let's just hit real quickly on where the money came from for this entire network of ticket buying for good seats at expensive games. That gets thrown out there. It doesn't get answered at all. You guys had the story, as was reported in the documentary, Yahoo Sports, that November, that the NCAA had identified a Michigan booster that was called Uncle T. The Stallion's answer to that was classic lawyer speak evasion. They asked him, and all he said was, quite frankly, I've never heard of the name Uncle T. He didn't say, I haven't heard of Tim Smith, which is the guy's real name. He didn't say, nobody gave me any money. That was his, that's where the documentary, I thought, let him off scot-free of any explanation for where the money came from for that.
I can't argue with that. I don't know. The money remains a question, because the money suggests more people knew, right?
Right, exactly. That this so, was
this was know, not he says, oh, Rogue Rain tickets. Man. So this, yeah, like you said earlier, people wanted to go to. I know that they had somebody. I think ESPN reported they had someone at the Penn State UMass game in the pouring rain. Like, I don't think anyone was like, "Hey, man, can you get me tickets to the?" Now that game would not have cost $300 or $500,
no.
But still, like, who's wanting to go to that? Yeah, that remains the mystery. Ross, right? Uncle T, the Uncle T you spoke to, or at least Tim Smith.
Tim Smith denied
anything, right? He said he didn't pay for it.
He did. He denied everything that he was backing in any way this. Of course, when his name leaked out from our story, he or the Michigan collective, I guess, could have pushed him out, but he quit or was fired from the board of the Michigan collective. I think that was in the documentary actually as well. So, I don't believe that Uncle T arises in the NCAA notice of allegations, from what we understand, but you never know. Yeah, but Uncle T looks like he's getting off scot-free, Dan.
Well, what are they going to punish him for?
I don't know. Funding an illegal...
Rich guy buys tickets? I don't know.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, helping fund an illegal scam. They could do the old... what do they do?
Disassociation
thing, all that stuff for helping fund, if they have evidence, helping fund an illegal advanced scouting scan system. But obviously, I don't think they had the evidence for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the money came from. Uncle T seemed to be a suspicious character. He denies it. I don't know. Something there does not, the dollars and cents don't really add up. I don't know. And again, it's these questions that kind of were at the end that, I think you can take an interesting look at Connor and say, okay, this is he's overambitious. He's young. He made mistakes. There's a lot of things that explain it in a reasonable way, at least explain the behavior. I'm not saying excuse, but explain it. And then you get to these questions at the end and you're like, well, you know, just fess up or just be a little bit more, more open to it. I don't know. Who knows where the money, I'm guessing we'll never know where all the money came from.
Probably not. Will we know what Chris Partridge's role was? He was the linebacker coach who was fired in mid-November, like a month after this broke, for not cooperating with the investigation. And Connor Stallions did cite him in the documentary as the person who gave him entry into the program. That was who he first reached out to and who said, yeah, you know, we'll find something for you to do. Come on in. And he did have a relationship with Chris Partridge. So why did he get fired? Maybe we'll find that out at some point.
I was thinking of this at that part, and these football staffs have grown. They're enormous now. Hundreds of people working on football teams, you know, and some of them, it could be anything, right? It could be any department of this, the recruiting coordinators, the graphics people, social media, all the different things. I found it interesting that he just was able to walk up and basically like, hey, I want to volunteer. And they're like, okay, come in on Monday. Now, granted, he had volunteered at Navy, had a little bit of a resume, but like, this is Michigan. And so I wonder for all of these schools. Like anybody is, let's say that Connor Stallions acted on his own. Any school could be susceptible to this guy because you have it used to be you have 8 assistant coaches, like you have 8 official assistant coaches, and like you grant your staff and you could give a culture, right, to your staff. You have so many people now and so many of them trying to get ahead. This is like these programs need a lot of oversight. When you have this, like, I just was like, God, this guy was basically like, hey, well, I was the scouting guy at Nate. All right, why don't you do that? We don't have anybody. Like, he just sort of like, boom, there he is. If that is an accurate telling of what happened, and we have no reason to believe it wasn't, like, that's kind of wild. You can just, boom, get that deep into a program that quickly. And it's like, is there background checks? Is it who's his boss? What is happening, right?
Yeah. Who are you reporting to? Where's your office? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions I would have. And I do wonder if that's commonplace or if that was maybe part of the semi-chaos at Michigan of like, yeah, you know, linebacker coach says, we'll just bring in this guy, and Harbaugh doesn't know or doesn't care or whatever. And, you know, you just end up having guys running around doing menial chores or busy work for you. But somebody needs to know who they are and what they do and where they came from.
Yeah, you would think. So what happens now? He's write a book. When does he write a book? The tell-all book, Dan. I want the tell-all book from Connor.
He's already written a book, The Michigan Netflix. Manifesto.
Oh,
baby.
He's got the manifesto.
When are we going to see that? Yeah, so I noticed he said
it wasn't 600 pages. It's like 6,000.
Yeah, a few thousand. Yeah. I noticed he said in the documentary that he doesn't plan on turning that over anytime soon.
Proprietary advantageous information, of course, competitively advantaged. That's his manifesto. I like the amount this guy hustled. Again, more than one thing could be true. Did he send his friends to videotape these games? Yes. Okay. But it was an impressive amount of work here. This guy, like all he did was football. Like he's just showing one small part. Like he just has every single bit of information he ever had. He's just spending 24 hours a day preparing to be a head coach. It's an incredible level of dedication. And you're like that to me is just as a character study was striking that there's someone out there in their mid 20s saying, this is all I care about. Not all the other things most guys in their mid 20s seem to care about.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's an anomaly. I mean, there are plenty of people in their 20s hustling hard to get jobs in college athletics and coaching, you know. I mean, there's a lot of grad assistants and other guys, you know, doing whatever they think they can do to break in. But he would seem to be an extreme example. If you got a 6,000-page manifesto at age 20-something on how you would run a program, and if you're sleeping in your car so you could fly across the country to go to home games. I mean, the body of work, as it were, could perhaps be enough to get him institutionalized, or could perhaps be enough to make him a head coach.
My guess, he was better at sign stealing than virtually anybody, in part because of who he was and in part because of the work that he put into it. A lot of the sign stealers are like, you know, it's like our guy's the assistant tight end coach, right? Or something like that. And, but he went, it's like he probably had 95% of the information, or even 99, or maybe even 100, but he wanted to make sure he had 100, or wanted to make sure he got that last little bit. And that's what does you in when you don't have that guard. You could be very, very smart on this, but like the risk assessment he didn't have. Right.
Right.
Brilliant at this, but then like, I should have made my Venmo private. I don't know why anyone's Venmo isn't private, but does stuff like that. You're just like, oh man, what was that? That wasn't very smart.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, one of the things, football prizes overkill.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's like, I'm going to distinguish myself by being the overkiller of all overkill, you know? And it's just like we there's no such thing as enough information. There's no such thing as enough preparation. And so he took it to the extreme, and he's an extreme personality.
Andy Reid goes to work every day with the Kansas City Chiefs at 4 a.m. He's won 2 straight Super Bowls and has Patrick Mahomes, like maybe 5.
Yeah. You know, 5:30.
I don't know what he does. You see those guys, they sleep in the office, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it is a maniacal group of people. All right, more discussion after this. Bro-hio, Ross?
Yes, it wasn't you.
Who would be the funniest Bro-hio? Who would be the funniest? If they like rip the thing off like Scooby-Doo style, that old cartoon.
Yeah, right.
At the end, like Ryan Day is under there. Urban Meyer, he's kind of got spare time now. Mm-hmm. Like, who would be the funniest Bro-hio? Cardale good Jones?
Question. Zach Smith.
Yeah.
Zach Smith. That's a good one. Zach Smith, yes.
Maybe someone else. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
Zach
a weird
Smith,
addition.
Similarly, you know, like unbalanced human.
It was
being,
a weird addition. It was a lot of FaceTime. Well, not FaceTime.
No.
No.
Yeah, time on screen without a face.
What do you make of him not willing to be known?
Yeah.
He needed a disguise. Like, we've seen this in those old, like, I don't even think you see it much anymore. Like, 60 Minutes, you know, like,
right.
I'm the whistleblower. They're pouring chemicals in the against the mob or something.
It was fairly unnecessary.
It's a message board poster. Is it that crazy? Come on, people. Do not shoot each other's message board posters. I didn't think I'd have to state this.
This is college athletics, and this is Ohio State, Michigan. And that's where you end up with Connor Stallions on one side and Bro-hio on the other. And Bro-hio may be flattering himself significantly by thinking anybody gives a crap who he is. But the fact that, you know, there are
in that world, they do.
Yeah, and there are enough insane fans that will find you. And I don't know if they'll like attack you, but they'll at least accost you.
Well, he might be like an insurance broker, and he might live in Michigan.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I run the Allstate office in Ann Arbor. I don't need to be known. This would hurt my. Okay. I get it. Right. Yeah. You don't know where they live. You know, like they don't. All Michigan fans don't live in Ann Arbor, and all Ohio State fans don't live in Columbus. They're out and about. They're allowed to disperse barely, but they're allowed. So I don't know. Maybe that was it. I kind of get it, but. That was just a twist to this.
here's the deal. If you're the Allstate guy in Ann Arbor and you're Bro-hio, say I'm not doing your documentary. Sorry. That might be my answer, as opposed to, you know, I need a code name and I need a voice alteration and a mask.
I think if you call yourself Bro-hio, you can't resist.
It's a very good point.
It's a great name, though. It is a great name. Like, I got respect for Bro-hio. That's just a terrific name.
Oh, Lord.
Was it fair? There are just significant implications that Ohio State did this whole thing. And I will start by saying, even if Ohio State did hire the private investigative firm, it doesn't change the fact that this occurred. Okay, so there's 2 arguments here. Again, it's like a court of law argument where, like, well, this evidence was illegally detained, and sometimes, like, a murderer gets away with it, or any crime. I don't even want to compare it to murder, but, like, you can get away with the police misconduct, but it still happens. So let's be clear on that. However, like, they went hard on that. Like,
they did. Yeah.
There's not any evidence that I know of, and I think everybody would try to. I mean, I've been leaked some crazy conspiracies. Ryan Day's brother is a private eye. Okay. Brian Day went to the same college as
Will Hobson.
Will Hobson at the Washington Post. One was a grad assistant at Ryan Day was a grad assistant in the football offices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will Hobson was an undergrad. Those 2 groups are not hanging out.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, Dan.
Well, this
you know,
is where
I mean that's what we got. Like, if I hope, like, as a storyteller and as a podcast content stallions, I want it to be. I want a personal check to appear.
Yeah.
Ryan Day signing it to Investigative Services, Inc. Yeah. of Columbus. I'm begging for that. But
first of
it
all,
doesn't exist at this moment.
No, in what you said is right, right? It doesn't matter how the information was obtained. It was obtained in it. It doesn't change the fact that this was a rule-breaking scandal. The second part of this would be schools turn each other in all the time. It happens all the time. I remember the days of covering, being a beat writer covering the SEC and various SEC schools. And I covered Auburn for a stint. I covered Missouri and I covered LSU. And I remember at each one of those schools, that school had at one point turned another school in, right? And they all just turn each other in. And sometimes it doesn't, in fact, most of the time, it doesn't end in some kind of investigation with violations and a notice of allegation. It doesn't. But every now and then, it does. And this would be a case, if this did happen, this would be a case that it does. It doesn't change anything. And it kind of to be expected. If you were at Ohio State and you were a coach and you knew this was happening, and clearly everybody knew this was happening. I mean, I remember making the calls after Dan and I broke the story within a few hours. It was pretty clear that most of the Big Ten coaches knew this was happening. So it probably was more than Ohio State. It probably was other schools, too, that turned them in.
Yeah, there was no secret of the suspicion, at least, about Michigan and how they were gathering information on other schools in the Big Ten. That's for sure. This was another major problem I had with the documentary. Is we've heard moving the goalposts. They moved them from Michigan Stadium to the Horseshoe. They moved them that far to implicate, via at least suspicion and speculation, Ryan Day and Ohio State here. They couldn't quite drill down enough on Chris Partridge. They couldn't quite drill down enough to get serious answers about Central Michigan. But they could go ahead and spin this thing out. Well, Will Hobson went to the same school as Ryan Day, so that's why the Washington Post investigated this. Will Hobson's a good investigative reporter. So, you know, they went fanciful where it suited their purposes from a Michigan conspiracy theory, Connor Stallion's conspiracy theory sort of standpoint, and other places that were more tangibly material to this story. I think they kind of left alone. Now, I agree with you, Dan. Look, if there's an Ohio State tie, that's secondary, tertiary to the actual first deal we're dealing with here, which is the Michigan violations. But if there is, oh, bring it on.
Oh, please.
We'll talk about that for another year. At least.
I've been hoping for that one for a while. I'm all for it. I'm all here. In fairness to a doc like this, and this is the Netflix audience, this is global. You have to make it entertaining. This isn't like one of those Doris Kearns Goodwin PBS 9-part. That's why you got Bro Ohio in there, right? It's a laugh. Well, they have a formula at Netflix. There's a reason Netflix is so popular. They know everything. The data they have at Netflix is insane. They know 11 minutes in, people stop watching. You need soaring music. They know 14 minutes in, this happens. They know, right? They have the data is incredible. So it's like, we need some comedy, right? They're doing the memes. They were spending time on that because it was funny.
Yeah, the TikTok memes too. What is that?
But it was entertainment. It's not like a legal case we're drilling down. So it's like, yes, there were minutes wasted on stuff that was, but if you're trying to go, I know when we did the Hernandez documentary, it's like crazy, like you're getting people from Europe who don't even really understand what a football is, right? And they're in on the doc, and you have to explain so much stuff. I think they explained like five times in there, like, you can steal the signs from TV.
Right,
because again, it's really murky and you're like, what is going on here?
Right. No, I thought that was actually effective with their little checklist.
Yeah.
The checklist. They kept going back to it, right?
Yeah.
So it is more complicated in defense of making these things. It's more complicated and there are more people to serve here and audiences to serve than maybe like our diehard audience is like, well, what I want to know is it's like, man, if we have to explain this level 6 question, this thing bogs down and no one can follow it. Right.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised they left out the part that at various times we all wrote probably in our stories was that a few years ago, the NCAA committee came this close to eliminating that rule. Remember, and yeah, I don't remember the particulars of it, but I'm surprised they left that out because I thought that was, that's an interesting part of all.
They
this.
Almost got rid of the rule, and they almost put the things in the helmet.
Yeah,
and right. They literally, I did a story on this. The committee was gonna put the helmet communication in, but like that weekend, there was like two NFL games where the helmet communication didn't work, like the wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, and then everyone was screaming. I think one of them involved the Patriots, and everyone was screaming like, well, they must be cheating because everything, I remember getting because NFL teams were at each other out too. I remember hearing this thing like the Patriots, it was a playoff game, and the bench, you know, they have those heated benches like on the sideline didn't work on the heat, and we complained. And this is the Patriots trying to screw us. And I said, well, what happened? They said, a guy comes out and he fixed it and it started working again. And I'm like, okay. So potentially Bill Belichick was so detailed on how to screw you, he got your heat turned off for 10 minutes. Or maybe it just didn't work and they sent the handyman guy out and he fixed it. Like, that's not a story. I don't know what happened there. That's not, you're not guilty. Like, I can't go with that, right? So they literally were like, oh, this is just a headache. Like, how do I know my Wi-Fi is going to work? Like, I don't want that, right? All of a sudden, Auburn's headset goes out. And they were so close. Which literally would attain someone with Connor Stallion's insight and brain. Like, he should be tracking, like, nuclear submarines of our adversaries. Yeah. Not whether right. Purdue is running power right on third down. Like, what a waste of talent.
It is a misappropriation of his gifts. Yes.
It's a waste of talent and training and intelligence. But he could have been doing something else in football.
One other thing I thought, maybe the most kind of like erroneous or inaccurate thing that I saw, there wasn't much, I didn't think, inaccurate about, but there was at the very end, they flashed the news about the NCAA changing the rules and allowing helmet communications. And I think in there it said, this will like eliminate sign stealing. Furthest from the truth, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to eliminate sign stealing at all. It'll we know that down. Coaches have come out publicly. I remember it. I thought being like eliminated or something like that. But I remember it standing out. And then of course it said, known as the Stallions rule, which of course is ridiculous because before the season, the Big Ten proposed the rule in the summer, last summer. So I think it was more coincidental than anything because this was going to happen probably this next year. The Big Ten proposed the rule too late in the process, but it should be clear. It is not going to eliminate. I don't even know if it's going to reduce the sign stealing because they won't have wearables and they'll still have to flash signs unless you huddle. And as we know, most college teams don't huddle.
If you're running a spread, it doesn't work.
Right. No. There's right. going to be plenty
tempo
of
is still, tempo is still very prized, and so they're, you're not going to huddle.
I've been to
a couple teams' practices in the last couple of weeks, and they were during practice, they were signaling.
Yeah.
Not quite as involved as they have in the past, but they had people, you know.
Yeah. Doing and that. I think it can be eliminated completely at some point if they do allow wearables where the players can wear like an eye watch type of Apple Watch mm-hmm. type of situation or something on their belt where flashes the play digitally. Then you really won't have to signal at all. A lot of coaches were pushing for that publicly and privately, and the NCAA committee did not approve it, but they did allow, I believe, some schools, maybe the FCS in Division II, to use it kind of as a trial. So that should be interesting to watch.
Always takes time with football. I mean, they still have the chain gang.
Oh, it's getting close to elimination in the NFL. I saw Dan.
Yeah. But they kept it. Like,
you can
come up with some stuff with college. You can be like, look, not all the schools can afford it. There's Wi-Fi issues. Not every campus stadium is built for the technology. You can't in the NFL. like the chip in the football, and there's no chain gang. They're still bringing out the chain gang, right? Like, how many billions does this operation have to make for us to go with, get rid of the chain gang? So that's a little bit of just football going on it. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What else was there? I'll be interested to see what they do with all that, with all the signs. Look, I still continue to maintain, and I know this angers people, but I just don't think the sign stealing is nearly as important as it was portrayed. If sign stealing was really worth a lot, if it was worth a touchdown a game or something, like if you could go from being a 8-4 team to 15-0, why does not every college have like 10 dudes studying the signs legally? Like, why wouldn't they put all their resources into sign stealing? Like, I think the narrative of this got overblown because so many people hated Harbaugh and they were able to just be like, this is the biggest scandal of all time. I think it's something. I just don't think it's the biggest thing. And I know that makes me unpopular.
Look, people do it. People do steal signs, and they do it for a reason. There has to be a reason to do it.
Yes, it helps. It helps. Yeah. Undoubtedly. Uh-huh. You would not do it if it didn't help. You would not send your friends to the games if it didn't help. All of that is 100% true. But when an organization tells their priorities by what they put their resources into, and there are more people in the graphics department to send texts to recruits than there are in the sign stealing department. If you really thought this thing would beat Ohio State or beat if Ohio State, let's take it to Ohio State's side. If Ohio State thought knowing every single sign that Michigan had was going to get us a victory, how many people would Urban Meyer have put on that task legally?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he did. I don't know how many people they had working on that.
10 dudes? Well, I mean, mostly, I don't know. When you ask around, they're like, was one guy, we got some interns working on it. Like, they pay millions of dollars for strength coaches. So I just think it's like, it's a thing, but it's not like, it's not everything. It's just, it's one more thing in a vast soup of lots of things that determine wins and losses. And it's like, I don't know. Like, Michigan didn't have a sign stealer until Connor Stallions came along. That was amazing. 2019 didn't have anybody.
Their record got better when they had a sign.
They did, stealer. But like, mm-hmm. You can steal signs for a long time. Why would Michigan not have a sign stealer?
I don't know, other than the fact that Jim Harbaugh is pretty old school. And again, they runs a chaotic organization. So I don't know. But Dan, that does actually bring up one other point, and I don't know whether this was one of your comments in the documentary that was clipped out of context to a degree or not, but people have asked the podcast to address your comment in the documentary about other schools doing what Michigan did.
I think if you listen carefully, it's other coaches have bought tickets at other stadiums.
Right.
What they did with those tickets, I don't know. I didn't say they were running that operation. No. But if you ask around, and I know you guys have heard the same thing, say, hey, who is anyone else sign stealing? You ask a coach and they go, well, I got pretty good suspicions about this school, or I've heard these guys use this, or these people do that, or that crossed the line. So if the NCAA wanted to, it doesn't matter now. They put the headset in, like they're not going to, but you can pour a lot of resources in to try to figure this stuff out. I don't know if you'd ever catch anybody. You probably have to hire private eyes, but. Connor Stallions is not the first person to work at a football team that bought tickets somewhere.
Right.
And if you ask around, you will hear other schools' names mentioned. It's not three schools. You hear suspicions about everyone because coaches are paranoid. So that was pretty much what I was trying to say. I wasn't saying that there was a Connor Stallions on every single school that bought 25 or 50 tickets or whatever, but there are, if the NCAA really cared about investigating this, and I don't know how they would, or they don't, but it would take a lot of work that, you know, there are things, but I think if you listen very carefully to what I said,
Yeah. Well, that's, I think there was some wishful thinking on behalf of some people in the media, even, who were like, Dan Wetzel has the names of five schools that have been doing exactly what Michigan did, which is not what you said, but there are people out there saying that.
I mean, if I had that, I would report it.
I would think so. Yes.
Just, you don't know why someone bought, like, so let's say Connor Stallions bought 50 games of tickets. I'm going to say, all right, well, maybe five of them, it didn't really, he didn't, he just bought them. Right. And did send a friend. I don't know. You don't know. This is why you can't. I don't know where that all goes. I'm just saying there's a lot. If you talk to college football coaches, there's a lot of suspicion about a lot of schools, and they're suspicious about everything on all the schools. Everybody everything. Is they, cheating. My first line in the movie is scandal yeah. drives the whole sport. Yeah. Everybody is cheating some way. Everyone else is convinced.
Mm-hmm. No, that. You could have, yeah, the comment of just, there's a lot of suspicion, period. That is college football. It's college sports.
Yeah.
Constant suspicion.
It's football. It's high school yeah. football. It's NFL. It's right. football is a game of deception. Right. And minute advantage, what is it? The inches are everywhere, right? From the movie, any given Sunday. Like, you know, this yeah. is it. So they'll do anything to get an advantage. It's a crazy competitive group of people. And Connor Stallions probably fits closer in there than a lot of these guys would like to admit.
Absolutely.
But that was it. All right. Any other thoughts on the movie?
I don't think so. I'm ready for the sequel.
Time for football, too. Time for football, Dan.
I'm glad. Yes.
We will. Hey, yes. Central Michigan plays Thursday night. I want to see right. who's on the sidelines.
They should have found a guy. See? Yeah,
right.
See
right.
McElwain like driving down the street in Mount Pleasant, seeing a guy waiting for the bus. Hey, you.
Yeah.
You put a goatee on
goatee?
You.
Yeah.
Like, you got to find somebody, man. I know Mount Pleasant isn't a very big town, but.
Surely
Central.
Get
and then Michigan State caught some strays. Like, Michigan State's sitting there totally like, and then like, they're showing like fans kicking in. I'm like, oh, Michigan yeah. State deserves this. Right. Oh, there was a brawl in the, like, this is not relatable. This doesn't matter. It's not part of the story. Like, yeah, I'm a Michigan State fan. Like, really? Really?
Yeah. This accomplished a couple of the things that besieged Michigan fans were hoping for. It's like, you're going after us for cheating? Yeah, but Ohio State cheats too, and Michigan State has no class.
Yeah, there. No. Yeah, I don't know what any of that had anything to do with the poor yeah, Michigan State.
This was a pro-blue documentary.
I don't think all the blue fans are that happy. I think they could have been. It's definitely not an anti-blue. But
no.
I don't know that they're all that excited about it. It's really hard to tell. There's so much chatter. Like, most people, as we know, they don't just sit there and go, hey, I was moderately entertained and informed. Right. It's the people just screaming like I loved whatever. It was very funny. Somebody had the entire Michigan staff should be put in prison. Right. Yeah. Like, it's funny.
Jailed.
Right.
Some TikToker jailed.
Right. It's like, it's funny. Right. It's entertainment. Those are the voices that come up, right? The ones that he was a low level staffer. Nobody even knew who he was. Well, I got a game ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a game ball from a pretty important win.
Yeah. Got a game ball. So he maybe wasn't that. Maybe he was well known. I don't know. All right. Well, I know this. Nothing will be settled by this documentary. So
it gave us a podcast.
Gave
Content
us a pod.
Stallions.
Gave us a pod. Again. We love it. Thank you. We're going to be back. Week one, regular listeners. If you're not a regular listener, you should be. So we will talk like this when we discuss all of the big games in week one every day, three times a week right now. And we appreciate all of our regular listeners listening. We will talk to you later.